If you want to go online shopping and don't want to spend too many clams, get the best deals on everything you need at Amazon.com. Use our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with our exit interview podcast. Today we're going to be talking to the fifth player voted out of Survivor Cambodia, and that would be Monica Padilla. She's going to be joining us here in just a bit for the unhappy recap of what went on in Survivor Cambodia. So that's coming up here in just a couple of moments. But a fun night last night for me between the Survivor and the baseball, and a lot to talk about here today on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, you could watch the recap of the episode with Josh Wiggler, the Survivor Know-It-Alls. Of course, you can get that at robhasawebsite.com or subscribe to the podcast feed at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Today, I'm very excited to be talking with one of the Left Out 11. Teresa Cooper is going to be joining me on the podcast, and we will have a lot to talk about with T-Bird and get her thoughts on the players that did go to Cambodia and hear what she has to say about this season. So that's coming up later on. And then we'll get into your voicemails with Akiva Winokur. Akiva is my co-host on the Seinfeld post-show recap. We are in the midst of doing a Seinfeld rewatch one episode a week. We are currently into season 5. We've been doing it for about, 16 months or so on post-show recaps. And Akiva is going to be joining me to answer the voicemails. Big Survivor fan. So we're going to talk about all that. robhasawebsite.com/voicemail to get your calls in, or 323-282-RHAP. All right. I see that I have Monica here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Monica, are you there?
Hi.
Monica, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little sick. I was running a fever last night and I just tried to drink through it. And now I'm hungover and feverish.
Oh, wait, that doesn't work? I thought that was the cure to any sickness.
I texted you yesterday. I was going to invite you to the party.
What? I didn't get it. I did not get this memo.
I texted you. Hold on, let me think. Hold on. I'm going to find it.
All right, find this.
I have a bunch of texts in there because, of, you know, if you didn't hear, I got voted out last night.
I did hear that.
Yo, Rob, what up? What are you doing tonight? It's Padilla, by the way. 9:29 yesterday a.m.
Let's cross check this offline because I don't think you have my right phone number because that was not
323-95.
That's not a text number. That's the number to call into the podcast. So that's why that didn't go through. All right. Anyway, so Monica, not the first time your lines are getting crossed up yesterday, right?
You know.
Okay, so talk to me about what went on with Kimmy, because it seemed like you were talking to her about getting this women's alliance going on, but Kimmy seemed to have it out for you. Was this a surprise to you?
Dude, huge surprise. I aligned with Kimmy. You're the first person that I aligned with when I hit the beach. Like, I don't understand where she thought she couldn't trust me or that I'd turn on her. 100%, I would have been loyal to Kimmy. I don't understand why she flipped on that.
Well, what do you think was going on there? I mean, you seem like you're a pretty easy person to get along with. And she not only did she seem to want to target you, it seemed like there was some animosity there, too.
I have no idea. I don't know if I, like, reminded her of, like, the chicken finger wag thing or whatever. I mean, looking at last night, I look at Kimmy and I'm like, wow, you are not a rational human being. Like, what are you even talking about right now? It's insane to me. I mean, you know, she's an oddball. She's very quirky. She's fun. I enjoyed playing with her. I had no idea that she would target me. I actually aligned with her early on in the game, so it came as a huge surprise to me.
Was there any hint of anything? We saw you guys get into it about the clams. Were there any other sort of altercations between you guys?
No idea. I mean, she hit it really well. Kind of psycho, the amount that she hit it.
Besides what we saw in the episode, did you lobby to try to save Kelly Wigglesworth any further than what we saw?
I mean, I did, but at the same time, when everyone was super gung-ho about getting her out, I didn't want to be the person, you know, being overly strategic and overly aggressive. I wanted to save her. I would rather work with Kelly. I think she's less aggressive and less dangerous as a player than Spencer is. But at the same time, I don't want to go in and act like I'm trying to call the shots and be labeled as bossy and get voted out. So I was trying to protect my own game as well. So there's a lot of that that you don't see. I didn't, you know, charge full force ahead and make a huge deal out of it because I wanted to protect my own game.
What was the thinking behind the idea of the Women's Alliance keeping the women strong? Was any of this born out of Samoa, where it seemed like, especially at Galu, where you had Laura Moret and Kelly, and it seemed like the women were trying to get something going there? And of course, we don't need to get into Shambo and all that stuff. But was that where that genesis of this idea comes from?
Well, overall, I think that women are strong. I think that they're logical. I think that, you know, if we could just put our crap aside and come together, that we're just a huge driving force. And I have confidence in women overall. We're a little crazy, you know, but I just had confidence that as women, we could come together. Not only that, early on in the buy-on days, the boys were definitely broing out and you could see this just bond. You could see like Savage and Joe and Jeremy just coming together and just being really strong. You see that early on when they put Steven on the outs. And so it was more of like, it was like an anti-bro alliance and a confidence that as women, we could come together and be strong and not turn on each other. But, you know, I guess history repeats itself.
Monica, how much of the game sort of like was taking place in your head where you're trying to sort of change the perception of you from Survivor Samoa? Were you trying to consciously do things different? And do you feel like they worked or they backfired?
I was constantly trying to do things different. And I was definitely overthinking my steps 100%. And I think that that backfired in essence. I went in wanting to really be aggressive and play a strategic game. And I think some of my social alliances suffered and a lot of my social games suffered because of it. A lot of times I was constantly thinking of my next play. Even if I was in a conversation, I was thinking about, can I trust this person? Should I trust that person? Should I not? I mean, that whole Savage conversation where everybody like cried over his wife. Mm-hmm. I didn't even hear that story. I completely blanked out. I was thinking about the game. So I feel like that's kind of a bad thing going in, you know?
Did you get in trouble for not crying like Steven?
I did cry because it's weird playing your second time around. They didn't show it. I mean, they didn't show anything of me. I did cry, which is so bizarre because in Samoa, I never cried in Samoa ever throughout that entire game. And for some reason around day 3 or 4 and right around the time that Savage choked up, I had some reflection over like my family members and being apart from them. And I've lost a lot of family in the past year. And I remember, you know, someone asking me, why are you a little closed off? And I was like, you know, I've just been going through some stuff. And I've been reflecting on my family and I started crying. They didn't show it. So when I saw Savage choke up and I missed the story, I was kind of like, oh wait, he's choking up too. Why'd that happen? But at that point I kind of had to act like I knew what happened and what he said, because I was actually thinking, so if I align with Steven, and I missed that entire moment, but I didn't get in trouble. I don't know, maybe my little acting skills came into play and I just acted like I knew it was going on, but I had no clue.
Could you talk about where you fit in the pre-swap ion? Who were you allied with at that point in the game?
I aligned with Kimmy, Jeremy, and Keith. And then I also aligned with Steven. And as time progressed, things were shifting constantly and I felt like I was on the bottom, but it seemed as though Kimmy and Steven were below me, or at least Steven and I were right on point. Everyone was targeting Kimmy. Everybody was talking about voting Kimmy off. And that bothered me because I wanted to protect her. And so maybe that was my downfall. But so I just thought, I knew that I wasn't running the show. I didn't think I was first out. I figured that Kimmy would maybe be first out and then it would be between Steven and I because it seemed like we were on the out. And I expressed that to Steven and I don't know if he took it to heart, but yeah, it definitely felt like we were on the bottom.
How much do you feel like the performance in the challenge was a factor in this, if it was at all?
I mean, I've heard rumors that they wanted to throw the challenge to get rid of me. I don't see why I was that big of a threat, but my performance in the challenge or the immunity challenge?
Well, I was talking about your performance in the challenge, but I think that whether the tribe threw the challenge is also an interesting question.
I don't know if they did. I don't know if it was something that they thought about. The fact that Jeremy sat out is pretty suspicious. I don't know if that's just a story that wasn't told. My performance, the challenge, I think at the time meant more to me. Looking back at it, I realized that I was being rolled in zigzag motions and it wasn't entirely me slowing down the challenge. It was a factor, but I think it was a team effort that slowed it down. But I don't know that the actual challenge really affected the vote as much.
In your heart of hearts, do you believe that the team threw the immunity challenge last night?
I think they thought about it.
Okay. And they thought about it to get rid of you? You were not part of those conversations?
I was never part of those conversations. This is just, you know, rumor mill, but I think it was a thought, and I don't know if they just, that energy just carried into it. I don't think that it makes sense to do that, but sitting Jeremy out. I remember there was a moment before when we were going into it, and they're like, well, who's going to sit out? And we're like, oh, Jeremy, Kimmy, who should sit out? And then Jeremy said he was going to sit out. And there was a moment where I was like, no, Jeremy should play. Like, why is Jeremy sitting out? Like, Jeremy's the strongest person on our tribe. And I remember just going, don't stop trying to call the shots all the time. You know, I was trying to like hold in my type A.
So much was made in these episodes of, you know, where is Monica in these episodes? What was some of the things that you felt like were going on that you could tell us about from those 13 days?
I was constantly thinking about the game. I tried not to over talk the game. I tried to just, you know, hang out and go with the flow. But from the first day, I definitely aligned with Kimmy, Jeremy, Keith, and Steven. And you never see that. And so there's no story there. Instead, it becomes me, you know, fighting about clams, which I don't, I don't know that that was the entire reason that I went home. So I think it would have been more fun to see, you know, the alliances that I attempted to form and then failed rather than make it about clams. But
who was somebody that you attempted to make an alliance with that had failed?
Kimmy. So I aligned with Kimmy from day one. And I said, you know, we got this. Let's just stick to each other no matter what. And she turned on me. I just don't see the rationale in her turning on me, because I would have protected her from day one until day 39, but that definitely failed. Yeah. And then, I mean, obviously Jeremy wrote my name down. It's like my own alliance just completely turned on me. So in my head, I thought we were good, but, yeah, I guess I'm not as good of a survivor as I thought.
Was there anybody that you had been working with from the pregame that we didn't get to see you work with on the show?
Yeah. I mean, I was working with T-Bird, who didn't make it on, which sucks. It would have been a very different game if T-Bird had made it on, and sad that she didn't get to play. Really just sucks. So T-Bird, PG, Wentworth, and Michaela were people that I had pre-gamed with. Yeah, that's about it. And so those are people that I never got to work with. And I think it could have been a very different game had I been able to work with them.
Monica, what was it like getting to play Survivor with Steven Fishback?
Steven's funny. I mean, Steven's hilarious. He's super nerdy. He definitely is a fish out of water. He's just very quirky. He kind of, you know, kind of comes in, little lanky Steven. Hi, guys. You know, and all the time, he always seems like a deer in headlights. He's always wide-eyed and like, I don't know, or maybe we could think about this, or Monica, maybe you shouldn't be so steamy, and let's just, you know, let's not stir the pot. It's just funny. It's hilarious. You would think that he would be a little bit more vocal about his play, because, you know, it seems like he's always thinking about it, but instead you kind of see it in his eyes. His eyes are always like wide-eyed, and whether he's like wide-eyed over the Bro Alliance or whether he's wide-eyed over the fact that he can't chop down a tree, he's just constantly like a deer in headlights, like, it's kind of funny.
What was it about Spencer that made you feel like you definitely couldn't trust him? We saw that a lot more last week, where you were talking about Spencer and how you wanted to get rid of him. He should be the first one to go.
Well, I think Spencer comes off as really innocent and, you know, nerdy and, I'm just here to make friends. But I saw the way that Spencer played the first time. And I knew that he was aggressive. I saw that the only thing that really saved him was the swap this time. And so I was just really cautious about it. I knew that he was an aggressive player, and I knew that Wigglesworth was there basically like playing the old school game. Let's worry about camp. Let's set up the fire. Let's, you know, cut some fruit before a challenge. And so someone who's not as aggressive as a player and just, you know, just, she just seemed more loyal to me. And I knew that Spencer came in with numbers. Spencer had three other people that he's played with, whether or not, you know, he had friction with Cass, still, he knows Cass. Cass knows him. Fine. If they have friction, let's take it to Final Four and then deal with it. So I knew that he had numbers, and he was one of the only people that really had numbers besides, you know, Jeremy and, Wentworth and Sierra. So I was looking at it just on a very rational basis. He has numbers. He's an excellent player. People underestimate him. He may seem naive, but if you let him, he'll go all the way to the end and win the entire game. So that's where I was looking at it.
Finally, before you go, did the Mets clinching the National League pennant and going to the World Series take any of the sting off the night for you?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, I've been prepping for this night since I was voted off. So, but at the same time, the Mets, man, I'm a Mets fan through and through. I literally grew up in Shea Stadium. My dad used to work for Shea. I used to sit and do my homework at Shea. I'm really sad they don't play there anymore, but the fact that they're just rising up is awesome. I'm like, yes,
silver
finally.
Lining. Yeah.
Yes. I'm like trying to watch the Mets game and watch myself get voted out at the same time.
It's bittersweet. All right. Well, Monica, thank you so much. All the best. And yeah, I'll get you the correct phone number. And then we don't have to worry about this anymore. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Monica, all the best. Okay. Take care. Let's go, Mets.
Thanks, Rob.
All right.
Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Fellow Mets fan, Monica Padilla here on the podcast. And of course, now we are going to switch up gears. And this is a very important week to be going back and looking at history, because everybody this week is talking about history and the future, because this is the week that Marty McFly returned to in the film Back to the Future Part 2. So with that in mind, let us review this week in Survivor history with a special musical introduction from Shut Up Tim.
This week in Survivor history, this week in Survivor history, with Jordan Kalish, with Jordan Kalish.
Great Scott! We need 1.21 Abby Maria watts of electricity.
It's the kids, Marty, the kids.
All right, here he is, Jordan Kalish.
That was the greatest song I've ever heard.
You liked it.
I did, and apparently whoever wrote that song wrote lyrics to it, and they went into the future and found out that we'd be doing This Week in Survivor History together.
So you don't want to hang up on me?
I don't.
Okay, good. All right, we're off to a flying start.
But I'm about to go drag like racing with my friends.
Like a hover car off to a flying start. All right. So, of course, Jordan, happy to have you here. And as always, the This Week in Survivor History segment is sponsored by our good friends over at stamps.com, because you don't need a time machine to make sure you get over to the post office before it closes, because you have to play by their hours and only go to the time when it's open. You could be printing and shipping things from your house anytime with stamps.com, because they let you buy and print real U.S. postage right from your printer with just a computer. Then the mailman takes it and sends it. You can even perhaps address a letter to your friend. Now, I don't know if they can deliver it 30 years in the future if you knew the exact location where somebody was standing. And then if your friend got struck by lightning with the time machine, go ahead and send them that kind of letter. No, that's not what you can be doing. You could be just doing all the stuff you could do at the regular post office, Jordan.
That sounds great, because I have a bunch of friends in Hill Valley that I need to send stuff to. And I've also heard the DeLorean is the original car curse.
Yes, it certainly is. So you'll save money with stamps.com. You won't have to go ahead and try to be doing any Fugazi sports almanac stuff, because you will just be saving so much money on your postage. You could be getting the exact postage that you need the instant you need it without overpaying. I've got stamps.com at my house, and I've got the scale, and anytime I need to send something out, any of these pictures I'm sending out to the patrons, got those going out the door because I got stamps.com at my house right now. You could sign up for stamps.com with the promo code RHAP for a 4-week trial, and you'll get a $110 bonus offer, which includes postage and a digital scale. So don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone at the top of the page, type in RHAP. That's stamps.com with promo code RHAP. All right, Jordan, where are the time circuits set up for?
Well, I'm going to set the DeLorean to take us to Survivor Cook Islands, October 19th, 2006.
Okay.
And this is a very important episode in Survivor history. This is the episode where Cowboy, not Colby, the Full Tilt Cowboy, this is where Cowboy of Survivor Cook Islands was voted out. But before he was, he came up with an operation called Plan Voodoo. And Plan Voodoo is actually the first time a vote split was ever brought up on Survivor to get rid of the hidden immunity idol.
Wow. October 19th, 2006.
Yeah. That's 9 years ago, a couple days ago.
Yes. I remember the week well, because it was the last time that the New York Mets were in the National League Championship Series.
Oh, that's true. And also your birthday week.
Yes. Yes.
So much like this year, but this year the Mets look like they're doing a little bit better in the NLCS.
A confluence of events happening in the third week of October in 2006. Okay, so tell me about what Cowboy was thinking with Plan Voodoo.
Well, Cowboy does come up with the strategy, and it is a strategy that will be used a lot of times in Survivor history, sometimes to success, sometimes to failure. But the way that Cowboy comes up with it, apparently he had some sort of dream where a supernatural people were coming into a village, kidnapping other people. He can't defeat them because they could become invisible. And for some reason, and this part doesn't really make any sense, there's a shaman lady selling credit cards.
Hmm.
And I don't know how that comes into play, but somehow she brings up the fact that there's three of something and three of something else, which makes Cowboy think when he wakes up that if his alliance of six people, or what he thinks is his alliance with Yule and Becky and some of the other people on that tribe, if they put three votes on Jonathan and three votes on Candace, if one of them plays the idol will be out of the game and one of the opponents will be voted out.
Does anybody have like a dream journal that they could check that out?
I guess, I mean, it's probably a better dream than Fires of Sigmund or whatever it was on Seinfeld.
Flaming Globes of Sigmund.
Flaming Globes of Sigmund. Yeah.
Yeah. Now the thing about Cowboy was that he was sort of like worried about that Penner could have the idol, and he wasn't realizing that he was talking to Yule, who actually had the idol.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, Cowboy, I don't think does anything wrong strategically in this episode. When you talk about just the strategic game, Penner did spend a lot of time on Exile Island and could very well have had the idol for all Cowboy knew. Yule, of course, has it, and Yule does a very good job not letting Cowboy on to the fact that he had the idol. What Cowboy's big mistake was in this episode was the fact that he didn't really make an effort to fit into the tribe. He had this big thing about taking the idol to the reward challenge because he said it was like the god of fertility and he was a holy priest. So he had some weird quirks in this episode. I really like Cowboy as a character, but he clashed with Penner and did not really fit into the tribe.
Look, I'm the easiest guy to get along with. If you can't get along with me, you've got no business getting out. Get out of here. Go back to bed. Go come up with some crazy dream. Get out of here, Cowboy.
Yes. So Cowboy does come
right
up with a crazy
dream. Right off into the sunset, Cowboy. Why don't you go in Back to the Future Part 3 with Doc Brown in 1885, Cowboy, and Mad Dog Tannen.
There's only one way I go into the future, and that's Full Tilt.
That's a different Cowboy.
Oh, yeah. Ron, I keep cowboy thinking Colby. I'm talking about Colby the Cowboy. But no, I mean, I think this is a very interesting episode. They end up not splitting the votes. Cowboy gets voted out. Yule decides to stick with Penner and Candace. But it's very interesting that Cowboy, who's not really thought of as a strategic player, is the one who first came up with the vote split.
It's amazing. It's uncanny how he did it. Jordan, who would Penner play in Back to the Future?
I could see Penner maybe as, I think probably Doc Brown.
I think you're looking at him, you're not thinking fourth dimensionally, because I think that Penner probably in 1985 would probably be the right age to play Marty McFly. I think that he would be sort of like that, probably that same age as like Michael J. Fox. Could you imagine Penner as the Marty McFly character to be like, hey, you, Biff, get your damn hands off her.
Isn't that George McFly?
Well, he was setting it up. He told George McFly the plan.
Okay.
Are you calling me chicken? I'll steal a chicken off the boat. Are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean, Doc?
You know what? I think you're starting to sell me on this. I'd watch that movie.
Whoa, yes. That's heavy.
Okay.
All right. What else happened this week?
All right, this week in Survivor History, we're going to do the Second Chances Rewinds, where we go back and we look at some of the players from Survivor Second Chances. We're going to first go to Survivor Philippines and check up on our friend Abby Maria.
What is Abby doing?
This is an episode from October 25th, 2012. And surprisingly, Abby is not happy with Scoopin' in this episode.
What?
Yeah, she's not getting along with people, Rob. She's not getting along with Scoopin' or RC, just like in the season, how she doesn't get along with certain members of her tribe. This actually, the conflict here started where Caliban and Tandang are in a stalemate at the immunity challenge. And this is a really... I think this looks like it might be kind of a fun challenge to do if it wasn't in a stalemate where they have to push this big ball through a field of mud and nobody's moving the ball. There's a lot of great takedowns at the beginning of the challenge, but then by the end, nobody's moving. And Penner shows up. He proposes a deal.
Yes. Hey, why don't we just split these sandwiches?
Yeah. That's the deal he proposes is that if Tandang gives up. Yeah,
give me the immunity all the sandwiches.
Caliba will get the sandwiches from the reward, and Tandang will give all their rice to Caliba.
A terrible trade because they had no idea how much rice they had.
Yeah, they had no clue. It turns out to be maybe a day or two extra of rice, and you know the merge could potentially be coming up. You definitely want the sandwiches in this case. And Penner makes a good point. They have fishing gear. They could go out and fish. It turns out Penner doesn't catch all that many fish, but you never know.
You never know.
And I think you take the good meal there.
Yeah, I think so. And then Artis was really mad about it, and Abby Maria was really mad.
It was Artis's birthday, and he was really pissed off. But Abby, this is actually where RC calls Abby the Brazilian bomb.
The Brazilian bomb. Boom. Still going off.
Still going off, and she won immunity this week finally, but you never know what's going to happen next week with her.
You never know. Okay, Jordan, anything else from this week?
Yep, just one quick thing, and to tie it back in with the first episode we talked about in Survivor Cook Islands, this is the episode where Kelly Wentworth was voted out of Survivor San Juan del Sur. This is October 22nd, 2014, a year ago, and they actually planned voodooed Kelly. They thought maybe she or Dale had an idol. This was the new Coyopa tribe after the tribe swap. They split the votes, and Kelly was sent home. The tribe, Missy and Baylor and Keith, were not too happy with Dale, but they figured that Kelly was a big threat. I guess they used the Drew Christie strategy.
All right, Jordan, thank you so much once again. Outstanding work as you head back to good old 2015. All right, take care, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
We're going back to the future.
This week in Survivor history. This week in Survivor history. With Jordan Kalish. With Jordan Kalish.
That's so funny.
This song might be not ready for you guys, but you trust me, your kids are going to love it. All right. Get out of here. All right.
Have fun with the Mets game.
All right. Take care. Bye.
See ya.
All right, everybody. There you have it. This week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish. So lots of great stuff going on here today, of course. T-Bird interview coming up. Going to get your voicemails in with Akiba Winokur. Get those voicemails in. RobHasAWebsite.com/voicemail. Or here's the right number. Don't text me at this number for the voicemails. It's 323-282-RHAP. It will not get a text message at that number either. So don't try that. So 323-282-RHAP. RHAP or robiswebsite.com/voicemail. One other thing I want to tell you guys about is our link for these original season 31 t-shirts that Brian Malloy is making over at Teespring. You can check out the new Ninja Stealth Mode Woo shirt or the Young Lad Football Camp, a new shirt for Spencer inspired shirt. You could check that out. Go to robhasawebsite.com/s31shirts. That's robhasawebsite.com/s31shirts. You could also click in the banner on the sidebar on robhasawebsite.com. And again, 100% of the proceeds from these shirts are going to charity with the Give Kids the World Hearts of Reality event that goes on every year. So no money is being made by Rob as a Podcast on these shirts. So you can go ahead and check them out. Great cause. Go to robiswebsite.com/s31shirts. So that's going to do it for this exit interview podcast. Going to be back with T-Bird and voicemails with Akiva coming up later in the day. To take us out today, I want to bring you the Monica Padilla inspired song sent in to us by the great Shut Up Tim. Here is your Monica outro song. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Monica. 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 Monica.